welcome to a special edition of Unplugged. A bit of a different show this week, not so much a preview necessarily of the Giants game, because I think it all comes down to how we recover from the weekend. Football can be glorious and brutal, and sometimes those things are separated by a couple of seconds. It was a pulsating Sunday afternoon where I think we played the best footy we've played in a number of years, put together a really strong performance against high-quality opposition. We've spoken all year about the need to pinch one of these games back to get things back to where they were supposed to be. And it just felt like it was going to be one of those games, because every time we needed to be clutch, we were. Jack Shulmani took that mark on the goal line. We'd step up and kick a goal when we needed to. We'd win a contested ball when we needed to. Someone would lay a tackle when they needed to. And it just felt like, I don't know, it was written in the stars that we would find a way to win. But at the same time, there were just those little moments that it felt like maybe five or six times we paid absolute maximum price for something when, you know, at three-quarter time, I think we were three goals up with a minute to go in the third quarter. We give up two goals in a minute. The ball bounces to one end to the other on the back of a pretty contentious holding the ball. And then Nass, arguably the most gifted player in the competition, makes an extraordinary error at centre-half back. Then into the last quarter, we have Darcy Wilson have a shot at goal that was touched on the line, having had another one in the third quarter touched off the boot, having touched one himself in the first quarter, but the only camera on the ground was behind him, so you couldn't see it. And then obviously the Marcus Wintager one, it doesn't matter about your tape measures. Everyone who's watched footy knows that they pay that as a mark every single time. If he goes back and has a shot, he either kicks a goal and you win the game, he kicks a point and you can't lose, or he gets a forward line stoppage with 90 seconds to go that we can try to defend. Just all of those little moments. And then it culminated with probably the only true mistake we really made over the course of the game was one stoppage set up right at the key stage, which obviously reminded us of that Port Adelaide game all those years ago with Paddy Ryder and Robbie Gray, where again it was one set up where you just needed one player in a different position and you hold them up and you win the game. But it is really just an episode to talk about the emotions of coming out of that, because it did look like for most of the day that it was going to be a turning point victory, where it was a case of a really special road win against quality opposition where we stood up under enormous pressure to set us up. But obviously in the space of 20 seconds, it becomes one of the most deflating defeats you could ever see. And then it's probably trying to pick it up, which we'll discuss in a minute as to sort of what happens next. And we probably all have emotions or comments on how we reacted on the siren, and a lot of what this podcast is hopefully about is about sort of just rationalizing all of that. I mean, you can't hide away from those emotions. You're chasing victory, so and the glory that comes with that, and if you don't win, it can go the other way. And for me, it was a case of more stunned silence. I think I sat by myself for 20 minutes and just sort of pondered what happened on the siren. I don't think I swore or hit anything, even though under other circumstances I might have. But yeah, and it's just, we all know footy can ruin your weekend, but you know, Monday was a pretty good day in Melbourne. It would have been an absolute ripper if you had spent Sunday night reflecting on that win and then had a public holiday to think about you beating one of the best sides in the competition. And it's always hard, whether you lose a night game or a day game, to try to grind your way through the following day, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's a work day or anything else. But hopefully everybody's been able to do that, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on. It might be a case of lose the battle, win the war, maybe, in terms of what that result means. But Nick, your reactions, it was a very good game of footy. And unfortunately, like so many others, it's one we can't watch highlights of ever again. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch even Liam Ryan's mark, just because of the memories it'll bring up. So
yeah, I swore and hit something. So I did enough for the both of us. That was as angry as I've been at the final siren and as flat as I've been for 24 hours after a game as I can remember. I mean, outside of, you know, grand finals and finals and those sorts of things, that's about as shattering a result as I can remember in recent times. And it was just really, really, really difficult to deal with. And I think you kind of touched on it. Hell of an opening monologue, by the way, Darren, 4 minutes strong. decent effort. It's
fond of my rant last week.
It was. I think what made it so difficult is that we didn't do much wrong, just about all day. A stoppage here and there, like you said, one right at the end in a crucial moment. But we didn't do much wrong for most of the day, and in fact, we did more right, I think, in those key moments, and even in the last couple of minutes. You know, there was the Silvani, you know, mark on the line from the Blakey shot. There was the Sinclair running back with the flight of the ball to spoil or mark. He ended up taking the mark and running off his man. I mean, I haven't seen Jack Sinclair do something like that for a while. And yeah, there was some Darcy Wilson moments. There was a whole range of moments in those last few minutes that you kind of, I think as Saints fans, you kind of have that feeling of dread when a team comes back from, you know, 5 goals down, 6 goals down, and every score, it's kind of like, here it comes. They're gonna run away with it now. And every time they did it, we'd kind of counterpunch and felt like we still had something left in the tank. And particularly with them being 2 men down on the bench as well, like we were still competing and contesting in all those 1%ers, all those key crucial moments that you want your guys to do. It's not like we stopped running. It's not like we stopped chasing. It's not like we gave up. You know, we were doing the things that we should have done, and they were just too good in the end. And it was those moments where they were just a bit cleaner with the ball. They had momentum. You know, it was a bit like the wave comes crashing down on you, and yeah, you might have been riding that wave perfectly up till that moment. But when the wave crashes down on you, there's nothing you can do. Doesn't matter if you're standing upright, if you're lying flat, doesn't matter. It's just, you know, the force of nature is too strong. For 95% of that game, I thought we were countering the force of nature. And I thought we were pretty bloody good. And that's kind of, you know, we're now 2.5 days removed from the game. That first 24 hours was pretty tough, even the next half a day. But I think in hindsight, we can take a bit from it in that we were pretty bloody good for most of the day. And we took it up to one of the best teams in the comp, and should have beaten them. And I think that's why it hurts, is that we should have beaten them and we just weren't good enough. And as fans, I think we're at the point where near enough isn't good enough anymore. You know, we want to see results on the board. I think we can see the development on the field. I think we can see the growth, which is good. It's a real positive. You can see these young kids growing, developing in front of our eyes. But you know, without the 4 points at the end of the day, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, it's a tough one to take. That's as simple as it is. It's a tough result to sit there and accept almost. You get what, 30 points ahead and sort of thinking, hey, we're gonna shock the league today. We're going to put up a result that everyone goes, wow, they're dead serious. They're back almost. Like you think that's a sort of thing that would scare a few teams. I mean, it probably still will a bit. A few teams will go, well, okay, yep, they were put on a show and were quite dead serious. I mean, we outscored every other single team in the league except for the one we played.
Yeah.
It's what's happened to this boring Ross? It's not there. We put it up against one of the best attacking teams in the league, a team that defensively plays very well as well, and pretty well matched it with them the whole day, if not were better than them for the majority of the game. The problem was we had these patches, and they cost us dearly in like the few goals right before halftime, three-quarter time. That little patch, we stop them in that point there. We go into the last quarter with a bigger lead. We have more confidence in holding that lead and like thinking, okay, well, there's probably going to be a couple of moments in that last quarter, but we might have had enough space between us and them to hold on completely. So yeah, it's moments that have pretty well cost us. And just not being able to see that or take control in those times and stop what is happening, then, yeah, that's where you sort of go, we need to – that's what we need to work on. It's not the whole game plan. It's stopping this other team when they're getting back into it, when they're getting that run on that gets them back into the match. So, if when we look back at other moments, like as was Darren said before, the mark that went – I mean, this – in comparison to the size of the ground there, it almost looks like it went 50 metres. You got the mark that should have been paid to De Koning when the umpire stopped the game in the middle of us attacking. Look, De Koning's clear and takes the mark easy. There's no question about it. Naz fumbled that ball. Oh, it wasn't a great handball. He fumbled it. He weirdly enough tried to kick it off the ground. I don't know what he was trying to do there. But he also then gets tackled without the ball. He never took possession. And you think, okay, yeah, the amount of times we got called holding the man that day and didn't seem to come back the other way. There's all these little moments you think if a call had gone our way or the possession wasn't taken away from us it's just little things that any one of those things could change the result. And so it's, again, it's a moments thing. And yeah, if we can scrub those moments out, that's the thing that we need to be able to do. And hopefully, that's obviously the ones that are only in our control are the ones that we can do anything about. But yeah, I mean, what Windy makes it look a metre longer by stretching his arms out or just these little things that might change something. But yeah, it's just all those little things that combine and that's the result you end up with.
I think you mentioned it. There was that kind of, was it 4 goals in 6 minutes, 7 minutes at the end of the second quarter that, you know, we still go into halftime with an 8-point lead, but you know, it could have been 30 points, 35 points or whatever it was. And you know, that's I think where we cost ourselves, because you know, you go in half time with a 6-goal lead and you're up and about and you're backslapping and you're pumped up and all those sort of things. You go into half time having had 4 straight kicked on you or whatever in those few minutes before the siren, and you know, instead of the backslapping, you kind of had the energy sucked out of you. And I thought we did actually a really good job to kind of get back into it and work ourselves into it at the start of the third quarter. I thought we kind of punch back and hit back and you know, for the most part, I thought we did a really, really solid job. Probably better. Solid is probably underrating and understating our performance. I thought we did a terrific job, really, in hindsight, in kind of that counterpunch that I mentioned before. You know, when historically in those moments, you know, Sydney kick 4 in a row to go into halftime, you know, the first 10 minutes of the third quarter, they kick another 6 and game's out of reach by 3-quarter time. You know, they end up winning by 40 or 50 points. You know, we quite easily could have dropped our bundle and have done so on many occasions. And I think, you know, we are showing that growth and we are showing the development, not just year on year, but week on week almost, and the maturity to bounce back after, you know, the debacle of the first half against Hawthorn a week ago. You know, even that in itself is growth and development and a real positive trajectory, real positive trend. And the fact that we've really only been thumped once this year, you know, that first half against Hawthorn, we've been, we've said it just about every week, but we've been in a winning position or a winning adjacent position in the last quarter of just about every game this year. The Hawthorn game is the aberration. And I think what we needed to see was that wasn't going to become the new normal. And we didn't see that. You know, we saw that it was indeed an aberration. And we got back to that, you know, fast start, first quarter, punch them in the mouth type of mentality and game style. And that's what we needed to see. And you know, looking back at it, a few days removed from the game, Yes, it's still hard to think about and kind of rationalize that we lost the game, but I think outside of the 4 points, we got just about everything we needed to get out of that performance in terms of the bounce back, the fight back, the turn it around from that Hawthorn game. What's next, Darren? You mentioned at the top is how do we bounce back again? You know, I thought it was going to be hard to bounce back from that Hawthorn game. This is potentially going to be even harder to have the 4 points, to have the win stolen from you at the death, in that sort of fashion. Potentially has the ability to be even harder for us to bounce back from next week.
Yeah, I think short term, definitely, and that's the challenge. I mean, I think looking at the game, it's an interesting one. I think we could see last week coming, and I think we felt it was an aberration, and that's probably why we reacted to some of the media coverage, because it felt like they were using that to encapsulate the season when clearly it was the outlier on everything else that we'd seen. Yeah, interesting that halftime point, like a little bit flat at halftime, but you also felt that a lot of what we were doing was still working. They had momentum in what was an open game for 6 or 7 minutes. And I remember thinking, if we kick the first of the third quarter, we might be all right. And Sydney didn't score for about 12 minutes in the third quarter. And we actually dominated that term. I think we had 11 clearances to 4 and dominated inside 50s. Yeah. And ultimately it cost us the 17, game.
17 minutes actually it was. So
yeah. Ultimately that quarter cost us a game because we kicked 2 goals, 4, we hit the post. Another key miss was after De Koning kicked that goal in the square and put us 17 up, Darcy Wilson missed one. He would normally have kicked a banana from about 20. That would have put us 4 goals up. And I remember thinking sort of a minute before three quarter time when we're 3 goals up, I'm like, it's going to be hard for Sydney to beat us if they're 3 goals down at three quarter time, missing 2 players, and we've actually controlled most of the game. I thought we'd probably be all right. And even through the last quarter, I mean, when they missed a couple of set shots, I thought, yeah, maybe it's our day. And it was probably only when there was about 4 minutes to go, we were still 10 points up. I thought we were just about home. And it was only when, obviously, they squeezed that pass out that just got to Warner. It went over someone's hand. And then obviously everything that happened after that was chaotic, and that's when the game sort of sits in the balance. But yeah, I remember thinking and talking to a couple of other Saints fans straight after the game, thinking that would almost be a season killer in terms of what it does to your morale. But, you know, I messaged, I hope you won't mind me saying it, but, you know, obviously Terry Wallace, an ex-coach who's neutral, doesn't barrack with the Saints. I just sort of messaged him the next day saying, how do you get up from that? And he said, I kind of look at it the other way, that if you're a coach, you would reinforce the message that, and it's true, it's the first time really this year that it's looked like it all came together, and that's what it's going to look like. We've seen a bit of it, like a quarter here or there, and the way we've started interstate games. But when you put it like that, that's what you have to almost sell as a message. As hard as it was, it's almost one where you'd get people around for a barbecue or something if it was a local club on a Monday night or a Tuesday night and say, don't lose faith, because that was exactly what it's supposed to look like. And sometimes you lose anyway when that happens. It's just the reality of it. But that was a blueprint into what it's going to look like. And it's what I was saying earlier about lose the battle, win the war, in the sense that as frustrating as it is, because we should have won the game, and there's a couple of others that we should have won this year. I mean, you look at Adelaide winning by a point every week and the Bulldogs winning by 3 points every week, and you're like, that's the difference between, say, our season and theirs. But you have to look at it and think that we weren't going to win the flag this year, but you wanted to see those steps of improvement. And I think we have. We just haven't nailed one of those chances. I think I put a post on X about it where we led Fremantle in the last quarter. They've looked unbeatable. We had half our side out. We led Brisbane in the last quarter. They usually beat us by 80. Melbourne ended up being better than we thought, and we probably should have won that game. We dominated the Gold Coast early and then just lost our way a bit again with a couple of players out. No Nass in that match, no Higgins and one or two others. Then obviously this match, which we definitely should have won. And strong road performances against the Crows in another game we should have won. And that's the next step. You need to be able to win those games. History doesn't remember the teams that nearly win. Mm. But we weren't in these positions last year or the year before. There is definitely progress. We move the ball better. We score heavier. Our stoppage work, we win the clearances most weeks. We win contested ball most weeks. That there are things happening, and that's the key. You've just got to make sure the players don't lose belief. It's taken me about 3 days to see it. If they can see it, then obviously they can still feel that there is something, you know, moving the right way. It's very hard to come back from a game like that, but they need to realize that effectively the season can start again now. We don't leave the state for 11 weeks. We've got a stack of winnable games. We play all right against the Giants. Last week hurt, so take it out on them. You're still in control.
You know what?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, it's kind of the ante that's so secure. But what I've kind of been seeing today is, you know, we're kind of used to, even when we win games, getting slammed by the media either for, you know, winning by less than we should have, or, you know, terrible game style or sloppy skills or whatever it is. Like, I always find a reason to you know, kind of punch down on us. What I've seen in the last 24 hours is a lot of the media and a lot of neutral fans actually being like, you know what, you guys were really good. You should have won that game. You should have beaten the Swans on their own patch at a ground that's tough to play on. You guys should have won that game. You were good. And I was chatting to Daniel Harford and Mark Stevens this morning, and Harf was like, you guys bounced back. Like, I wasn't expecting you guys to fight back the way you did after that Hawthorn game last week. And Steve-O, massive Bulldogs fan, you know, we played the Bulldogs in a couple of weeks. And I said to him, man, I'm terrified about playing you guys, you know, in a couple of weeks. You guys always punch down on us. Even when we're playing good footy, you somehow find a way to beat us by 10 goals or 15 goals or whatever. And he was like, I'm actually pretty worried about playing you guys. There is a dose of, you know, Saints fatalism, I think, that we all suffer from at times. And I think we can be pretty good at kind of moving past it generally because we've had to. You know, it's in our blood. We have to move past losses and tough losses and bad losses and all those things. This one, for whatever reason, you know, the reasons that we've discussed already, feels harder than a lot of the others. But it is kind of nice and heartening to see neutrals and fans of other teams or media or whatever going, you know what, you guys should have won that. You guys were actually really good. And that does, you know, it's the opposite of what I expected to see kind of this week. Based on my own emotion, you know, coming out of that game over the last couple of days. But that's actually given me a decent dose of perspective, I think, over the last, you know, 12 hours or so.
Yeah. You look at most of the games this year, they've been a very similar story. Just some of them we haven't had, I guess, such a big lead, and it's been a bigger win to the opposition, and it's been like, okay, we haven't held on and they've run away in the end, that sort of thing. This was just because we were, I guess, a little further ahead and they've pipped us at the line. One thing I did notice going through the game was that if you look at all the quarters from just the 26-minute mark on, Sydney won 7-1. It's a pretty tough one to look at and go, okay, are we not running out quarters? Is that what the issue has been this year? Have we not been able to finish quarters off? And that's where teams are pinging us back when we're starting to run down a little bit right towards the end and needing that break. Is there something that we maybe need to look at that stage of the game? Do we need to conserve a little something, slow the game down a little bit at some point earlier in the quarter to then be able to, I guess, fight back in that last bit or try to control the game a little bit more at that point or whatever? But yeah, as you're saying, it's every game except Hawthorn, we have been leading by enough. And that's what it is. We've led by enough to win a game. It's, yeah, just holding on to that lead and I guess controlling a game when we have that lead. And yeah, so it's an interesting one to think, is that where we need to, hopefully they're going to focus on. Once we find a lead and get a lead, get control of a game, then just trying to keep it out of their hands, keep it away from them. Don't, if they do get a little bit of momentum, try and shut them down again, take it back again. Or it's a very similar story. So it's something that you look at and go, okay, it's not an inconsistency this week and something else this week and that sort of thing this week. It's the same thing. So hopefully it's something they can work on. Hopefully it's something they can target it on and go, okay, this is what's happening. This is why we're flying out of the block. We're doing really well. And then all of a sudden not able to stem the flow of them coming back at us. So it's something that can be fixed. We don't have that issue where, like over the last couple of years, where we've been really, really slow starters and having to peg it back and falling short that way. We've been able to beat teams at the jump and get out to a good lead, but just not hold on to it enough. So we've reversed that issue, but we just need now to work out, okay, how were we finishing strong previously and doing from there? So yeah, if we can find somewhere between those two, there's your perfect game. That's the game that will win more often than not. You don't necessarily have to fly out of the block and use all your energy up to get that lead. Build on it and keep strong later on. So we knew it was going to be a learning year. We knew it was going to be a working it out, how things are going to work. Completely new midfield, basically. Couple of new different key position sort of the way things are going to work. We've got players of in and out at the moment through injury, and form's been certainly up and down amongst a few. Once we get a bit more consistency between all of it, start getting back players. Like the thing about what difference a player like King would have made on the weekend, you go, that target up forward would have probably made a big difference. It didn't work that way. We didn't, basically our biggest forward was Liam Ryan. He was the one taking the marks. The other forwards couldn't seem to hold anything. So yeah, we get that tall forward up there, the proper big target, and things could just start turning completely. So that's what's in the blueprint, and that's what's gonna bring us forward.
Today we look at, I guess, as we wrap it up, we look at the Sydney game as one of the most painful home and away losses we've ever experienced. But hopefully, you know, by the start of next year or the middle of next year, we're looking at it as, I guess, the day we knew that it was going to work, if that makes sense. Hopefully that's what ends up happening when we reflect back on it. But that would be, I guess, the one message to the playing group, not so much us, because we'll always come back and rationalise it, but they've just got to keep the faith somehow that if you play like that, you'll win nearly every week. So, as much as they didn't get the reward, they deserve the reward and they should have got the reward. And if they keep playing like that, there's no doubt they'll get the reward more often than not. So, as hard as that is to take, because it feels like they were 4 points that should have been on the plane. It's all about picking ourselves up now, which is the biggest challenge. We've had to face a lot of those hurdles this year, back-to-back travel and, you know, short breaks and, you know, media kicking the shit out of us and all of that sort of stuff. This is another one of those challenges. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So good to reconvene. Our votes and awards will be up on the socials, so check those out. Obviously, plenty of Jason Blakes, I would think, out of that game, and probably a couple of obvious Shannon Knowles. But the injury list is getting smaller. Encouraging signs. Obviously, had a debutant as well, which we might discuss when the dust settles a little bit later on too. But until then, go Saints.